Well, we're at the final session, session 12, and I've entitled this, The Technology of God. What could I mean by that? Well, you know, as a kid, I've always wondered, how did God do it? How did this whole thing we call the universe come into being? What is the way in which God uses, manipulates, makes, creates? How did it all happen? What is the technology used? And now we use the term technology to mean almost different things. In our normal everyday world, we think of technology in terms of machinery, the things we manufacture, the factories that produce the cars and the TVs and the radios and even the meat and the salads and the milk and the cartons. And all that involves some kind of thing we call technology. But also technology can involve something that is practiced that doesn't involve any actual mechanical gears and wheels turning to be called a technology. When I was with shamans, particularly Australian Aboriginal shamans, I noticed that they had a kind of a technology. For example, we were sitting on a porch one night and a bird, I mean it, a bird, a white crow flew by and landed on the porch, walked across the porch and flew away. And I looked at the old fella, shaman, Aboriginal guy, sitting with me, and he paid very close attention to what that white crow was doing, and then got up and started talking to other people that I didn't hear what he said. Later on, I asked, what was going on? He says, he's got to leave. He just found out that his cousin in the village, which is about, 500 miles from here, just had a heart attack. And I went, what? What? And then I found out, crows are the communication technology in this particular tribal situation. Anyway, technology can mean lots of different things. So I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about this notion of the technology of God. And in a way, this is going to be the summary, the drawing together, the concluding ideas, which really we've been talking about in this adventure into a user's guide into the universe, into your universe. Well, let me just look over what we've been, and then we'll get into this technology stuff. I told you in the first session something about quantum physics, and I also gave you some inkling as to why you should care about this, how quantum physics gives us a new way of seeing into the universe, and how, as a result, it opens up the door to the possibility of other possibilities that you may not have ever thought of. It gives you new metaphors. It gives you possibly scientific ways of dealing with the world. It also gives you new technologies, which is appropriate. So that's really what the first session was all about. In the second session, we began to look at the question as, is there really an out there? Is there really anything there? I mean, what is out there? And we began looking at the notion of the quantum leap, the jump from what is to what could be without going in between, and how quantum physics gives us a story of everything being possible until something becomes actual, and that act of changing possibility into actuality, that quantum jump in which things come into a focus, that whole thing is what's called a quantum leap, and that is the action by which out there gets created. So that's what we talked about in session two. In the third session, we talked about what consciousness does, the mind in the body, how quantum physics has really changed the way we think about our whole experience, and how the movement of matter is very much influenced by the movement of mind, and including, of course, the mind, which is in your body. And in the fourth session, we talked about another idea, which is called parallel universes, how quantum physics indicates that there are parallel realities that come into being whenever an observation comes into being. And we talked about even what consciousness does when it's confronted with alternate possibilities. In the fifth session, we went into a little bit of detail on time bends and space warps. I tried to tell you a little bit about how physics has opened up the door to us seeing that time is not absolutely linear and fixed, and that space is not just out there and unyielding, but that space can be bent and time can be bent or warped, and that these kinds of things were very necessary for us to understand relativity, the relativistic ideas which led into this new vision of space, time, and matter. In the sixth session, we went from the physics into the shamanic world, and I told you about sex and magic and what the shamanic world was all about and how shamans utilize some of these sex and magic ways of thinking and ways of experiencing to change the reality that you call yourself. In the seventh session, we talked about dreams. It was called Where the Psyche and Physics Meet, and how dreams may be the cornerstone or the basis upon which actual realities come into being. If you dream it, it can become real. Not if you dream it, it's a fantasy or an hallucination, but possibly the building block upon which all of reality, and particularly the reality you call you, yourself, comes into being. So we talked about how dreams create a self. And in the eighth session, we talked about how all of this makes a spiritual universe a reality for us to think about. How spirit is part of the universe. How the universe couldn't even have begun without spirit present in its essence. And how that spirit is part of this invisible realm, this realm which we believe exists beyond space, time, and matter, this realm out of which even the universe itself came into being. And we talked a little bit about how the notion of self arises and how soul has a relationship with self. All that was part of the spiritual universe. In the ninth session, we talked about what I call the beginnings of a new alchemy. What are the alchemical steps that change mind into matter? And I pointed out there were basically nine steps as you transform from the void into the first cellular structure. How you go from the Aleph until you get to the Tate. Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, He, Vav, and then from Vav we go to Zain, and then to Chet, and then to Tate. And how those nine letters represent symbolically what happens as spirit gets transformed into matter. And then in the 10th session, we talked about matter into feeling and how these very basic elements, these nine elements, can appear in the physical universe as not the numbers 1 through 9, but the numbers 10 through 90. Remember, every one of these elements is a number as well as a letter. And we talked about then how matter into feeling takes place and how the living presence, the living sense of who and what you are actually comes into being. And we even gave you some examples of how this transformation, this alchemical transformation takes place and how you can, once you understand what's going on, how you can use it to transform any situation you find yourself in. Because there's a deep secret to all this that has to do with this thing we call the I, this presence we call the I-ness, your highness. And in the 11th session, I talked about how you can time travel through the whole universe. Once you understand that time travel and your ego or your I, yourself, or who you think you are really connected together. And I told you the story of Krishna and Arjuna and how Arjuna, who is very much confined in time, is taken out of time by Krishna, who then allows him to see that by getting out of time, he can travel in time throughout the whole universe. So that basically is what's led us now to the final session, which is the technology of God.